Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to MyFaithRadio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. So glad you're listening. I hope you're having a great day. Well, I'm excited because I get to talk to my good friend Aaron Smalley, and you get to join us in this conversation. We're going to talk about the importance, the purpose, and the power of good friendships. You know, Scripture says you walk with the wise, you become wise. You walk with fools, and you depart from God's path. Of course, that's my paraphrase of several scriptures put together, but it's true. You walk with fools, and you really derail your whole purpose in God. It's really good to step back and say, who am I walking with? Are they sharpening me? Are they making me more like Christ? Am I adding to their life as well? Or are these people here by convenience? So we're going to look at friendships. We're going to draw from Aaron's book, Grown Up Girlfriends, Finding and Keeping Real Friends in the Real World. So it'll feel like at times we're talking to women, but guys, I want you to listen too, because you need good friendships as much as the next gal, right? Let me tell you about Erin, and we'll get her on the show. Erin Smalley is a program director at Focus on the Family. She's an author, speaker based in Colorado Springs. She works with her husband, Dr. Greg Smalley, doing marriage intensives and seminars. She and Greg live with their four great children, Taylor, Murphy, Garrison, and Annie. She's got an influencer page up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Erin, welcome back to the program.
Well, it is a pure pleasure, as always, to be with you.
I know. We always want to get together for coffee, but we live in different states, so this is our chance. You know what I mean?
It's our chance to connect.
That's right. So
we'll just let others hear it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's good. It's great.
Okay. I love it. So, you know, we love to start out talking scripture, and you chose John 13:34-35. And it says this, yes. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I've loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Talk about that passage.
You know, it is, I don't know, just lately it has been so on my heart that really that's what we are called to, is to love God and love others. And really through our love for others, we are going to show them that we're Christ's disciples. And so it just is kind of, for me, I've been stepping back and really evaluating, how am I doing loving others? And how am I doing loving God? And through loving God, I'm going to love others better. And just being really committed and single focused with making sure that I'm full of His love so I can offer it to others.
Wow, it's a great charge for all of us. And I think when we pause long enough to consider that and maybe take a little bit of inventory about that, we start to see the edges of our love and how discriminatory our love can be. Do you know what I'm saying? Well, we can love people that are easy to love, but all of a sudden you start to see your limits and how much you need Christ's help. But what I think is so glorious about that is when you see those limits, you can ask for His grace, and you start catching yourself loving in ways that are just not you. You know they're not you.
I couldn't agree more, Susie. You know, it is so true that we want to love those people that are like us or kind of in our inner circle. But what about the ones that need our love and they need to know Jesus, or, you know, they're in a desperate place and they need love extended to them? You know, what about those people that are not in someone's tight little circle?
So that's a great word to be pondering. So tell us about the whole idea of friendships and how and why you decided to write about it.
You know, I wrote on it quite a few years ago, and it's so interesting, Susie, because when I'm going to go speak, let's say at a MOPS group or a women's group, and I offer topics to speak on, hands down, consistently, women choose to hear a presentation or a talk on female friendship. And it makes me step back and go, you know, what is it about female friendships? And that was really years ago what I was asking, is why are we so driven to be in relationship with each other? And I see it in myself, I see it in my girls. And yet I think as what I just over the last years, different seasons bring different challenges is what I'm finding in my own life to friendships. And what I'm seeing right now is I am definitely in a season that it's harder for me to connect. It's harder for me to get out because I'm so busy with school or with kids and their school and schedules and work and my marriage. And so I'm running, driving kids here and there. And so it's harder for me to get out to connect. So I've been looking at that a lot and just really looking at research and what is it about these different seasons that makes it so hard at times?
And I really think we have to look at that because you can try to fit a mold around your season and you're going to come up very mm-hmm. frustrated. There's got to be some grace when you're in a season like that. I mean, the season of parenting that you're in, I mean, you've got yes. one out of the house in college, but otherwise you are in the thick of it. I think you have one in every level of school.
I do.
Yeah.
Second grade, eighth grade, and senior year of high school.
Yeah. And so truly, there needs to be some grace around that right now.
Yes, but what I'm seeing, I came across this article. Actually, I won't lie. Greg found it and he brought it home to me because he knows whenever he finds anything on friendship to bring it home to me. And apparently, I'm not the only one struggling within connecting at that deep level because I hear from women especially, you know, oh, those surface level friendships are easy. I can do that. It's the deep heart connection that we're longing for. And it seems that this one research article found that 1 in 4 people are reporting that they do not have anyone to talk to when they are going through struggles or when they have something to celebrate. Isn't that the saddest thing you've ever heard?
Absolutely.
And I think for me, especially as women, there's research that shows that we are driven towards each other when we're stressed. Therefore, I feel like physiologically, God put that in us that we can help each other so much as we're walking through the daily stresses of life. And that the research is even, it's stronger, more now than ever, showing that people who are living longer, they have deep, healthy friendships. And it's making a difference in their physical condition as well as their emotional and mental health. They are healthier people because they have connection.
So good. Your pastor, Brady Boyd, out there in Colorado Springs, to me said one of the best things about friendships. He says, it takes a long time to make an old friend. I think that is so good. Mm-hmm. And there's something about that because expectations have to be adjusted. Forgiveness has to be offered.
Yes.
Grace has to be offered. And from the introduction of your book, you write, not all friendships are meant to be deep and intimate, nor will you instantly mm-hmm. bond with every new woman you meet. Friendships can provide both mountaintop experiences and painful valleys. And then in this book, we discuss both. I want you to start out with just expectations, especially women start out with, especially like, let's say you're moving into a new area. Let's say your husband relocated or you relocated and you're starting mm-hmm. all over, or you're just in a new season of life, your kids are in a different school, but you're starting fresh. What are some common expectations that actually cause and create disappointment?
Yeah. Well, I think you touched on it in what you read. I guess I wrote that.
that was
actually
brilliant.
Kind of, that was really good. I bet Greg wrote it.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, it is so true that we so often think that we are going to make these deep, deep, intense friendships quickly, that it's going to happen immediately. And really what it is, you know, it takes time and energy and effort. And, you know, first it's kind of like a dating relationship that you're putting your best foot forward. And then you start, as you continue to hang out with this person and, you know, have coffee dates or whatever, you start seeing some of the rough edges. And, you know, the expectation that this is going to go deep fast sets us up for, you know, disappointment because A, it takes time to build that relationship, but B, we're going to get to know that person to see if it's someone that we should go deep with. Because the influence, you said this earlier, Susie, that we are influenced by those we are around, especially in, I call it baskets, in that basket number one, that deepest level of intimacy. Those are the friends that are influencing us so much in who we are and how we show up in life.
And you said something too about deep fast. I have to say in my history, you know, there was a couple of friendships where I went deep fast and neither of those turned out so well for me or for them. I mean, I just think it was funky because maybe there was such a companionship and that we clicked so well, but I think the expectations were as high as could be. And yet the friends that I've had for over 20 years that are, I would say, inner circle friends, they were just, there was a steady pace to them. They were tested, tried, and true. And I think I felt like they were growing in maturity in their faith, and so was I. So we always had adjusted expectations. And now they have become safe people to me. But I want you to speak to the idea of someone who wants to go deep fast because they're so anxious to almost accelerate something that I think takes time.
Yes. And, you know, there might be something more behind that. You know, what are they? Are they getting value? Like, you know, are they thinking that this is, you know, having these deep friendships is going to bring something to me? Are they trying to fill a hole, you know, in their marriage possibly? I often see women whose marriages may not be, you know, where they want them to be, or they feel, you know, rejected somehow or disconnected from their spouse, that they try to fill those holes with female friendships. But yet female friendships are not created to fill the same holes as our husbands. Our husbands meet very different needs in our lives than our female friends, nor are female friends created to fill needs that God is supposed to fill in our life. And therefore, if we're expecting our friends to meet needs in our life that are they're not meant to, it's a disaster. It's a setup for disaster.
And that's really so important. You're thinking about if there's something of God that you're not drawing from, and if maybe there is a lack in your marriage, very possible. I think when you want to go fast with a friendship, the boundaries come down too fast. You know what I'm saying? Where all of them come down and you invite them into the center of your life and it's too much too soon. What advice do you have for that person who is just maybe has a series of failed friendships, and as they're listening, they're kind of diagnosing why, where they've let their walls down? There's something healthy, I think, about doing this in a paced way. Do you know what I'm saying? But they let all their walls down and brought them into their inner court too soon.
Yep. You know, if that's you and you're listening, I've been there. I, at one point in my life, thought all of my friends were supposed to be at that deep, intimate level. And what I've learned over the years is no, they're all important. All different levels of intimacy and friendship are important, but they don't all have to go to that deepest level. You know, really, there's maybe 1 to 4 women in your life that are going to be at that level. And if you're trying to make everyone go into this little tiny basket, it's disastrous. So if this is you, take a step back, you know, evaluate what's going on with me. Is there something that a need I'm trying to have met through these relationships? Am I lonely? Is it, you know, obviously you are lonely if you're pursuing, you know, connection at that deep, intense pace, but what is driving that? Take a step back and just, you know, spend some time praying. You know, is it a need that the Lord wants to step back into your life at that level? I know every time we move, I really use that time because there's quiet. There's a lot of quiet when you move because there's not, your phone's maybe not ringing as much, or you're not getting text messages, or people aren't stopping by. You know, use that time productively. You know, pray, ask God, who is it that He wants you to take to that deeper level, that inner circle in your life? And first and foremost, he has to be at the dead center of basket number one, that deep intimate circle, because out of His connection, out of His love flowing through you, then you can love fully, you know, in a way that's healthy, that's of Him. God is love, and He's the one that will produce the love to flow through you to give to others.
But good. Talking to Erin Smalley today about the importance and power of, namely, female relationships. But guys, I want you to stay tuned because we'll be talking to you too. You heard Erin refer to baskets. We're going to talk about these different baskets, these different kinds of levels of depth and friendship. But if you're in that place of loneliness, I just love what she said. Cultivate intimacy with God. Wait on Him. And maybe don't go too fast when you meet somebody. Have some wisdom to take slow steps and then trust God. More with Erin Smalley when we come back. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend Aaron Smalley out of Colorado Springs, Focus on the Family. We're talking about the importance of good friendships, and we're touching on mostly female relationships right now. But, guys, we're going to talk to you in just a moment here. But what do you say, Aaron, to the gal who says, you know, I don't do women friendships too much drama? What do you say?
Mm-hmm. I hear it all the time. Or I've been hurt one too many times. Or, you know, I'm going through this right now. Friends move and, you know, they move away or something changes and the relationship changes. And you know what? That's life. It happens. And I'm learning to, you know, hold loosely and, you know, not to hold so tight to a relationship that it chokes the life out of it. And, you know, things do shift and it hurts, but God is the healer of hearts. And so if it's been too much drama or you've been hurt, just go back to the fact that he created us to be very relational as women. Plus, I look at the research that shows that he causes us to be drawn toward one another when we're stressed. I just don't know. And there's the health benefits of female friendships. We live longer. You know, that we have less depression. We have more to offer in our marriages and to our kids. You know, how can we afford not to take time to invest?
Mm, good word. Okay, back to these baskets now. Explain what you mean. I think it really helps women understand. Because one of the common, I think, mistakes we make is, as you said at the beginning, expect them all to be in the same sphere. And if they're not, we're quick to break up with friendships because they're not fitting in this one size fits all. But there isn't one size fits all. So say more.
There definitely isn't. And when I speak on female friendships, I share this analogy. I call it the baskets, and there's three baskets. Basket number three are, you know, it's a large basket. There's 20 to 100 women in this basket. I call them just acquaintances. They're people that we know just from maybe standing in the Starbucks line or, you know, wherever, Chick-fil-A, wherever you're going, that you get to know someone. For me, it was the Sonic lady. I literally got to know the Sonic lady because I could not drive past Sonic without stopping, not because I wanted my Diet Coke. It was because Carolyn became my acquaintance. She became my friend because I would pull up into my little stall and I didn't even have to push the button because Carolyn would come over the intercom and say, Aaron, I'm coming with your Diet Coke.
Oh, I love it.
And so we would just exchange, hey, how you doing? And how, you know, we're going to get rain or snow later on and, you know, whatever. It was just very matter of fact. But we developed a friendship and it was a basket three friendship. Basket number two is a little bit smaller. And there's like 5 to 20 women in this basket. And these I call good friends or companions. So it's a little bit deeper. You're taking deeper steps in the level of intimacy in these baskets. So basket two, you're sharing opinions, concerns. I call them, sometimes they're special interest friends. Maybe you work together or you have a shared season together. Maybe you're doing a project together. They're a mom of someone in your son's class, you know, something like that. That you share some deep times, but it may just be for a season or maybe, you know, they'll stay in your life for an extended period of time, but it's not that deepest level of intimacy and connection that we've been talking about. Basket number one, 1 to 4 women, and I always tell women, you have one of these in your basket, one, you are blessed. Because as the research is showing, many people do not have these deep connections. And our heart longs for these deep connections. And these are people that we share our hearts with. You know, it's a deep level of commitment and trust. And we share needs and we share feelings. And, you know, it takes time to develop these relationships. But what I always caution is that these are the relationships that it's not a matter of if, but when you will run into some relational dynamics, you know, maybe some conflict, differences of opinion, you know, preferences, personality differences. It happens and it's going to happen. And how are you going to choose to handle it to honor God, the relationship, and yourself within this basket number one?
Mm, so good. Where do you put the kind of friends where you may go a month or even 2 months, and then you connect and it's as if no time has passed because you've known them forever? Because there are friends like that where there's not this expectation. You haven't called me in weeks. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I feel like you and I are like that, where we both have very full lives. And I've got a few other girls like that, that it's like there's not ever this kind of expectation I should hear from them. So if I don't hear back or they don't hear back from me, There's right. the benefit of the doubt, and when we do connect, we totally pick up where we left off. And to me, it's pure gold because, you know what I'm saying? Where do you put that kind of a friendship?
This is the beauty of the baskets. You know, there's 3-2-1. Our relationships are dynamic. They change. They shift. And so someone like you, I mean, you come into my life at that basket number one level. And it's, you know, you come in, I say, you know, there's Sharpie marker friends or dry erase marker friends. They come in and they write on your heart. And, you know, it's permanent. But then there's those dry erase marker friends that come in and they write on your heart. But then maybe it flows away. But they come in and they make a deep impact when you do connect. And it just makes me smile to think about that because it is so sweet when you can have that with someone like you and I, Susie. We can, you know, be together. We can go deep and be real and authentic and share, you know, the hurts of our heart and know that it's safe, that it's valued, that it's not going to go anywhere, and that we in this. And so the thing is, these relationships do shift. They're dynamic. And if maybe you have someone in your basket number one that it's becoming toxic, that it's unhealthy. And, you know, boundaries need to be put in place to say this behavior is no longer acceptable. And so that really what you're really going to do is shift the basket. You're going to shift the level of intimacy. And really what that is you're changing the expectations of the relationship on your behalf. And you might have that conversation. I always encourage if there's something like that going on, addressing it, you know, and if you have to address it again and again and again and nothing changes, then that's an issue. That is not okay.
And you always say, you and Greg, in your marriage counseling, that conflict is a doorway to intimacy. So I would think when you have something that's pretty significant like that, this is a real indicator of where this friendship might go, right? You might either bring you to an even deeper place of intimacy, or it's an indicator, wow, well, this was good while it lasted, but due to circumstances beyond my control, this has now redefined the relationship.
Yes, and I couldn't agree more because I had one friend, I think I've talked about her on the show. It was recently. I've had more than one friend, but this particular friend, she was my neighbor, and we had daughters the same age, teenage daughters, and they went through a lot of relational dynamics, I'll put it. Thus, as moms, we were involved in that, and it gave us lots of opportunity to have some conflict in our relationship, in differing opinions on our daughters. And the thing that I learned from Carolyn, though, is that literally working through these issues in healthy ways, you know, owning what was ours, our stuff that was being stirred up as a result of our daughters, we were able to have conversations that, I mean, she taught me that it is worth the battle to work through it. And the more that we did that, the safer the relationship came because really there's nothing that we couldn't work through. We worked through, I mean, pretty much the most intense things with our daughters. And it was just a beautiful example of truly conflict can be the doorway to intimacy if you walk through it in a healthy way.
That's such a good word because I can only imagine your daughters watching their moms work it out and model that. Had to really have been something that they could learn from because, again, I think there's times when you've got girls that are friends and their moms are so offendable and so drama prone that they're like, no, don't do this. You know what I mean? And so to model that kind of friendship and working through conflict is just excellent. So when we come back, Erin, I want to just set you up here to talk about what do you let go of where it's really like, you know, you're giving grace over differences in friendships and what do you have to confront if you want integrity in the friendship? How about that? All right.
That's great.
All right.
Sounds good.
Yep. More with Erin Smalley when we come back. So glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my dear friend Erin Smalley about the importance and the power of good friendships. And before the break here, and I set up the question just to have you answer, you know, Scripture says to make allowances for each other's faults. How does a gal know when it's time to make allowances? Because as you say, if you have these inner court friends, you're kind of in each other's business. So it's inevitable you're going to trip over each other, bump into each other. How do you discern when it's time to make allowances and when it's time to, as your hubby often says, is disrupt peace for a deeper, disrupt harmony for a deeper peace? How do you know when to confront and when to make allowances?
Mm-hmm. I would say first and foremost, if you are beginning to build a brick wall, you know, brick by brick, as these offenses are happening or whatever's going on, you're bumping into something that is impacting your heart, you know, maybe closing your heart off toward them, I would say, you know, take a step back, become aware, give them the benefit of the doubt, look at their motives, you know, what was their intention. I think that's the most valuable thing we can put in place in our relationships, because when we become offended, how we view that person is going to be changed. But if we step out of that, give them the benefit of the doubt, you know, look at, you know, they probably didn't intend that to do that. That wasn't their intention. And your heart remains, if it's state your heart's open, then you know what, probably not something you need to address. If your heart's still closed, and you know what I'm talking about when your heart's closed, you know, you feel you want to be
shut down
from that person.
Mm-hmm.
You're shut down. And, you know, if it's a relationship that is a deep, intimate, you know, friendship, don't discard that because of one little thing. You know, walk into that with the attitude, you know, I could be wrong, but this was my experience and I just want to check it out with you. Now, there are those times, I'm walking through something like this right now, Susie, that I know it's my stuff that's being stirred up in this relationship. And so for me to go to them and dump my stuff on them is not the healthy way to approach. I've been really praying through something, grieving through this situation and weeping on my own time, because now I feel like my heart's in a place that I can go to this person and share, this is what I've been going through. And I'm sorry, I know I've seemed distant and I know I've seemed like I've taken a step back. It's not you. This is what I've been dealing with. And my heart is breaking as a result of this situation, but it's not you. This is what I've been going through. So we have to evaluate whose issue is it really? Is it yours? Is it theirs? Is it a behavior that you're seeing that's offensive? Is it, you know, what is it that, you know, pray about it. What is God calling you to? Is it something that you're going to help them grow in? You know, because we sure help each other. You know, Susie, you've spoken into my life so much. And, you know, you're such an encourager, first and foremost. But I would also trust if there was something I was doing that you were concerned about, that if you were sharing that with me, I would take that and hold it very seriously. And I just, we got to pray these things through. But I think in our society, it's become so easy just to walk away, you know, when it gets hard.
Yep.
And I especially see my girls. I have had to say, this is a friendship worth fighting for. You go and talk to her. And the beauty of it is I have seen, especially Murphy, our 18-year-old, walk through some relational dynamics with her dearest friend. And even last night we sat by them at this college admission thing. And here, they're seniors in high school. They've been friends since they were in eighth grade. And they've had to walk through different seasons and different challenges. But because they've walked through them so graciously, they are dear friends of the heart, connected at that soul level.
You know, you've heard me say this before, but I've got a friend who says, I never get too excited about new friendships until we have our first conflict, because then I know what that friendship is made of. And I think for her, your daughter, to learn that in her teens, to not walk away, to hang in there, is just so powerful. But you also touched on something where you had to discern, is this my stuff? Because sometimes it is our stuff. And I think it takes a mature woman of God to get before the Lord to say, help me sort this out. Because that's one of the things I think we as women can be guilty of, is reacting to everything. We react to whatever's happening, whatever we're feeling.
Right.
Like our emotions drive the train. And I wonder how many friendships...
I never do that, Susie.
I'm saying other people, okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Hypothetically.
Other friends.
But you wonder how many friendships have unnecessarily blown up because we reacted when we maybe could have stepped back and sorted out our feelings with the Lord, you know?
Yes, yes. It's so necessary. I'm laughing because just Monday night, there was stuff going on, and I've just had stuff in my heart that I've had to deal with. And Andy and I ran over to the high school to pick Garrison up, and I pulled in this parking spot. Well, this security guard came after me and was like, "Move your car. I'm giving you a $350 ticket." Well, it totally pushed my button, and I went into reaction. And my sweet little Annie, who's 8, looks at me and she goes, "Mom, I think you need to put your pinky in your belly button and take deep breaths." And I was like, "I know I do, because I want to go rip that man's head off."
There's something very calming about putting your pinky in your belly button.
And we've taught her to do that, ironically. Now she's reminding me of the methodology behind deep oxygenation.
Oh, that is hilarious.
So for sure, when we are stirred up, you know, and see, that man, he had no idea that I was stirred up before he approached me about parking in an illegal parking spot. And, you know, that's how we interact with each other as well, that there's times a friend is going to show up on our doorstep. We're already stirred up. Maybe we've had a disagreement with our husband, you know, or we were hurt by someone else, or we just opened up a bill that was, you know, way more expansive than we expected. And then we interact with people, and we're coming from a place of emotionality and reaction. And it's so important. I mean, just to tell that friend on your, "I'm sorry, I'm stirred up. And so if I snap at you, if maybe you snapped when you opened the door," you know, to let them know, "This is not yours. This is mine. And I don't need you to do a thing about it," you know, but it's great when they can sit with us and listen, or, you know, just validate what we're experiencing. There's nothing, I mean, what's the I love your paraphrase scripture, Susie, but, you know, that it's a sweet morsel to our soul when we have someone that, you know, is willing to enter in with us, not judge us, not, you know, criticize us, not storm away, but just to enter in with us when our hearts are hurting.
Yeah, so good. I'd love for you to talk to that person who has tried to be honorable with their heart and with the conflict, but the other person was maybe so unteachable in that they went away. The scripture talks about that an offended brother is hard to win back, hard to win over. And I, you know, you think about that person going, "I've tried everything," and they are so shut down. But I know what happens to our hearts when someone else hates us, is so offended by us. It's so, I don't know, squeezes on our identity and our sense of how can I be a useful Christian when there's somebody out there who has totally misunderstood me and misjudged me completely. What do you say there?
You know, if you've tried to have that conversation and they are unwilling, to me, that's a deep indication that maybe they are not supposed to be in your basket number one. I mean, but you know what? The verse we opened with, we're called to love. And sometimes that love needs to be from a distance. And, you know, take a step back, get your heart back open. And what can you do to be loving toward them still, even when they've offended you, hurt you, judged you, whatever has gone on, and you've tried to address it and it hasn't gone well? I've been there. It hurts because, you know, it's a rejection. It may be a death of a friendship. And, you know, there's grieving that needs to go on. And as you grieve, your heart is going to soften. And, you know, then, you know, take a step back and look up and get the wide angle of, how can I love them? I'm called to love. I'm not called to be at that deep, intimate place with everyone.
And there is a way, as painful as that is, to re-find your footing again, to know your identity is not up for grabs because somebody else has a different opinion of you, and to be used of God again. Because I think the tendency then is to pull back, self-preserve, and even diminish ourselves all the more. And one of the ways that you say that is really productive and healthy as far as guarding our friendships is to guard our own mind against negative thinking. Boy, that is where things go to rot, I think, is we let our...
Let's just say it how it is.
Let's just say it. We go in the ditch with our thoughts sometimes, and we don't believe the best, and we do connect the wrong dots and draw the wrong conclusion. So talk about renewing our minds and how that connects to healthy friendships.
You know, it is. It's so funny because it is so true. If I mean, just the slightest offense goes on, somebody says something, you know, it impacts our hearts. in our minds, and then we start seeing them negatively, and we start noticing what irritates us about them. You know, it's so important to step back and to remember, what is it that I love about this person? What was their intention in that comment? And then go to them. If you feel like your heart is still impacted, go to them and say, help me understand. This is what happened. And I'm guessing this isn't what you meant, but can you help me understand from your point of view what went on? Hmm. I have a dear friend, Bree, who she works here at Focus on the Family. She is so amazing at this. She's 15 years younger than me, but she has taught me more about giving the benefit of the doubt and really being intentional about going, that wasn't what they meant. I know it. And I'm going to fight for them in my mind, because otherwise I'm going to go to some really bad places. And if I'm wanting to go to those bad places, even after I've, you know, talked it through, then I need to go and talk to them and really check it out and check out my negative thinking.
So she's somebody who, if you felt misunderstood or dissed, mm-hmm. she would be the person to defend the person who's not there to say, I don't believe that that's what they meant, to kind of bring a perspective like that.
She
that
always,
is very valuable.
Always does. And even in this last week, when I've been dealing with just some deep heart issues, she has been so great just to listen to me and pray with me, and, you know, and not just a little, you know, 2 minute, you know, prayer. She has gone deep with me into the Word of God and praying with me and really encouraging me to have that conversation when my heart is ready. And I'm there. Mm. I'm ready. And I will have that conversation in the next couple of days. But it was so important for me to get past my own hurt and my stuff that was being stirred up.
Yeah, one of my closest friends is very good at that too, and I think it adds integrity to your life to have someone. This is a quote that I'll just totally wreck, and I don't remember the source, but something like, "Nothing is worse for us when our heart is down than the compassion of a fool." And you think about certain people who are trying to butter up to you, and they'll show you compassion when really what you need, you know, is a word in due season to say, look up, friend, look up, and let's give the benefit of the doubt here, because you don't need compassion at times or people to sing your same song if you're singing on the wrong tune or the wrong page. You know what I mean?
So true.
Oh, wow.
It's just, you know, to really look at their characters, this who they have consistently been. You know, and when this hasn't happened over the last, I've known them for 6 years, let's say, and I've not seen this behavior in their life, but now I'm suddenly seeing it everywhere. More than likely, this has more to do with you than them, because it's you're noticing things that are negative, and you used to notice the positive. And this goes for any relationship. This can be true in your marriage as well, that, you know, it has more to do with the lens that you have put on. So it's so important to give the benefit of the doubt and to look at, what is their character? Who are they? Is this who they are? Probably not. But if you're noticing something, talk to them about it.
You know, if we want good friends, we've got to really, really learn to be a good friend, to treat people when they're not there the way we want to be treated when we're not there. So when we come back, we're going to talk about both guy friendships and gal friendships, about the fruit of those friendships. Because you ever notice that? My hubby always says this, we're such creatures of the moment. We notice how we feel when we're with somebody. But the bigger test is, how do you feel when you leave them? What does it burden you? Do you want to be more like Christ? Do you want to redecorate your house? I mean, do you want to lose 20 pounds? What is the fruit of the friendships and the people that you walk with? We're going to discuss that with Aaron Smalley when we come back. Such a great reminder. Wow. In Christ, we're blameless. Love that. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Loving my conversation with my good friend, Aaron Smalley, talking about friendships and just wisdom in our approach to friendships and the importance of guarding our perspective when it comes to our friends. You know, it takes humility. It takes forgiveness. It takes long suffering. It takes investment to have a good friend, to be a good friend. And Aaron, though, sometimes I think for both guys and gals, sometimes our inner court friends can just be the people that we've just known forever without realizing maybe they're not, I don't know, I want to say this carefully, but the fruit that comes out of those friendships, as maybe somebody's listening today going, wow, the people I've known that are in my inner circle are just because I knew them in my, they've been in my neighborhood forever. But when I think about the fruit, it's we gossip a lot, or we compete a lot, or I seem to, I'll buy something and then she buys something. So truly, the inner court friends aren't really the most fruit-bearing friendships. I want you just to speak to the importance of really walking with the wise and maybe being careful about who it is you let into that inner place of your life.
And couldn't say it better. You know, I just came across the scripture, Proverbs 12:26, a righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. And so if you are being led astray within one of these deep inner circle relationships, you know, take a step back, start praying immediately and asking God what he'd have you to do. Is it a conversation you need to have? Is it a boundary that needs to be set? Is it the amount of time you're investing in this relationship? Is it, you know, that you're being so driven in the competitiveness of it that it's driving you to spend more and more time doing things that maybe aren't bearing fruit? And, you know, I think it is so amazing to me. I was speaking to a MOPS group last week, and, you know, the what women can do, the power of a female friendship is so amazing, because you think about things that have been started by women, you know, whether it's a well in Uganda, or, you know, a healthcare system that, you know, whatever, that, you know, backpacks for kids that don't have, you know, the finances at the beginning of the school year. Women are powerful. So together, we can bring it. I mean, it just really is phenomenal. But, you know, of course, when you walk away from those type of interactions, you are left feeling like you have offered something. You have brought forth good gifts. You are left feeling, you know, peaceful and joyful. When I leave a coffee date and I just have a skip in my step when it's just been a good, authentic conversation. And that's a good indication to me that this is a healthy friendship that is uplifting, and that we're focusing on things that we need to be focusing on. Now, there's going to be the times that we might not, and, you know, take a step back, set some boundaries. I don't know that it'll end up shifting the relationship, but, you know, we can redirect and get back on the right path.
And maybe this next question is probably for a different show, but I'll just toss it out there. I'm thinking of the woman who wants her husband to have good friends, but right now his current friends are old hunting buddies. Nothing wrong with hunting, because you can go and meet on your stoop and pray if you want. But there are also plenty of Christian wives who feel like they're hunting widows, so to speak, because there's nothing redemptive, you know, in those friendships. But she just feels the loss of him being gone so much. Any advice maybe you'd have for her?
You know, it is the case again. Pray, pray, pray. And then, you know, have that conversation with your husband when you... It's not in the middle of you being frustrated and, you know, so fed up with him being out hunting. Greg just did a radio interview on the NFL widow that when football season comes around, that their husband disappears, you know, with his buddies to watch NFL games or just football. And, you know, so pray and have that conversation in a loving, tender-hearted, open-hearted way, you know, not that's, you know, critical or... You know, just make it in during a time that you're both open and you can have a heart to heart conversation about what you're seeing or what you're observing. He may not be aware of what you're seeing. And, you know, I have recently, speaking on friendships, I keep saying to pray, pray, pray. Well, being here in Colorado, I started praying recently for a family that looked like ours, because we have age 21 down to 8 in our kids. And, you know, God sent me, I was laughing this morning because there was a text from this couple. God sent us a family that my husband has the same sense of humor as this other man, which, Susie, you know, that's a rare trait. And his wife appreciates it. Hmm. But we became friends because their youngest daughter is in goes to Annie's school, and she's adopted from China.
Oh, my.
Well, I didn't know that they have two biological daughters and a biological son the exact same age as ours.
Wow.
And then they have little Emmy on the end, as we have Annie on the end.
Oh, my goodness.
And to me, it just, I mean, I was like, okay, Lord, I just asked for a family that looked like ours. And you sent me the whole package. You sent me a family that I love this woman, Greg loves this man, and he has the sense of humor to be thrown in there. So that's a good thing.
Wow, that's amazing.
You know, so I just encourage someone out there who is desiring that, and I know we all desire that, start, really pray and keep your eyes open and watch for what God is going to do.
And see, this is a thing. You pray specifically about these things, and God answers specifically.
Yes.
And the challenge is for someone listening today, how often do you pray about your friendships, for your friendships, for your own heart, so that you can walk wisely? Because just as Greg always says about marriage, that it's not self-sustaining, it's the same with friendships. I mean, if you throw them on life support, I mean, they're going to flatline. I mean, there's not going to be a depth and a richness in those friendships, is there?
No, there's not. And I know I've been in this busy season, and those are the times that my friendships, you know, they're impacted. Because when I'm in a busy season, my first fruits are going to the Lord, my husband, and my children. But I know that even in the busy seasons, I'm going to have more to offer if I take the time to go have lunch with a friend and connect, or even just pick up the phone. You know that thing that lately you've only been texting on?
Yeah.
Pick it up and call someone. You know, I have to make myself do that. And I love, because now in this car I'm driving, it has the, you know, it goes through the radio system. I know there's a word for it.
Hands-free.
The Bluetooth, the hands-free. And, you know, it encourages me to call people and just say, hey, I was thinking of you. I'm in a busy season right now, but would love to find a time, even for an hour, to get together and, you know, have coffee, go for a walk, whatever, just to connect. Because who doesn't like it when they're being thought of by someone else and being pursued by someone else? And so if there's a friendship that maybe has faded away, I just encourage you to make that phone call, reach out, because maybe they're in a busy season, or maybe they're hurting. Maybe something's happened that you don't know has gone on, or maybe their heart's just been troubled about something and they need a friend. Reach out, because but that means stepping out of our comfort zone and taking a risk of being rejected
and out of the rat race. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Completely. No, and but you know what, I always say, if you're rejected, it's okay. You're gonna be okay. God will be there with you. He'll heal that hurt. And don't take it personally. Take a step back and go, okay, maybe they just weren't at the place to return my extension. I call it your umbrella, that you're handing, you know, this umbrella that we offer, this covering, this safe place for our friends, that maybe they just weren't at the place to receive it. Try again later.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is if we can start and end with our identity in Christ, I think we'll just be a much better friend. If everything's not hanging on their acceptance or the fact that we don't have conflict, and I mean, that's right, a walking on eggshells kind of life, that I just think that God has something better for us. Well, one last question, since I promised we'd talk about guys. Say a word about just your perspective on male friendships, because they're just going to look different than our female friendships.
They absolutely are going to look different. You know, Greg goes up to the mountains with his friends and fishes in this black muck marsh, and nothing appealing to for me at all. His friend last time lost his shoe in the thick mud.
How fun.
And yes, doesn't that sound great, Susie?
Yes.
You want to come and do that with me?
Please, please.
You know, they need friendships. And as women, we are typically the more relational being, and typically we will have maybe more time available to think about friendships. Encourage them. They need each other as well. And they don't sometimes know they need each other, but they do. And encourage them to take time to do things with their friends, their guy friends. And, you know, you're going to receive the fruit from that.
Yeah.
If it's a healthy, fun friendship that they can go and have deep conversation and laugh and have a good time together, they're going to have more to offer as well.
Good conversation, great advice. As always, Erin, as we wrap up, I'm wondering if you pray for that person listening today who just needs a reset in friendships and would need some encouragement today. Would you pray for her?
Absolutely. Lord, I just lift these ladies up to you, Jesus, and I ask that if there's a woman out there whose heart is lonely, Lord, that it's been difficult in friendships, maybe she just moved, maybe her dear friend has disappeared for whatever reason, Lord, I pray that you encourage her, that you bring new life and new relationships, Jesus, to let her know that you see her. You see her tears, you see her heart, Lord, and you care. So, Jesus, I can only tell the testimony of what you've done in my life, And you have been so faithful in friendships. So, Lord, I pray that over each woman that's hurting and desiring deep connection. Lord, we love you in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Dear Erin, as always, great talking with you today. God bless you, dear friend.
Thank you. You as well, Susie.
You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, I say it most every day. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He is the one who will keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.